Now, one of the things about observing the Christian year and calendar and lectionary and so on is that we often find ourselves teaching on the same subject. In fact, in the Church of England, every 3 years, you preach on the same passage. So, you've got to move on every 2 years because you've run out of sermons. And also, if you're always following the lecture, after your first 3 years of ministry, there's no more work to do because you've got your sermons prepared forever. So it has its advantages, the lectionary and all that. So this being the first Sunday of Lent, we traditionally think of the temptation of the Lord Jesus in the desert. The last couple of years, I've preached to you on Matthew's version of these events, which is actually extremely similar to Luke. So if you could just recall that sermon, then we can go home. I used that joke last year as well, but you didn't laugh much then either. So if anybody is interested in those two different sermons on this passage, email me and I will gladly send it to you. Today, something a little different. Now, I dutifully used the liturgy for Ash Wednesday on Wednesday of our joint service, and I said this. I invite you in the name of Christ to an observance of a holy Lent by discipline, self-denial, reading the Holy Scripture, and prayer, and so on. I think there may be fasting, prayer, and so on. And I stand by that. So a holy, disciplined, self-denying Lent would be excellent. But I do think Lent should come with a spiritual health warning. In fact, seven spiritual health warnings, perhaps slightly overlapping ones, that I want to give you today. The dangers of Lent. Okay. Well, first of all, number one, Lent is not in the Bible. Well, you might say, that's not a very interesting point, Vicar, because the internal combustion engine is not in the Bible, and I gave the church this morning. And you will give up. I mean, that's a limited point, isn't it? You might say Christmas is not in the Bible. Well, obviously the Nativity of our Lord is in the Bible, but, Christmas trees and turkey and all that, they're not in the Bible. And all sensible people celebrate Christmas, don't they? And I hope you're planning an absolutely huge blowout for the 25th of December. But of course, there have been some Christians in the history of the church, some of the Puritans and so on, who have thought that it's wrong to celebrate Christmas. That is to completely get how the Bible works wrong, and maybe that's another sermon. But it's worth noting that Lent is not in the Bible. God has not commanded us to observe Lent. Okay, so it's up to you. Don't have to. Might be good in some ways, might be dangerous in some ways to observe Lent. Particularly, it's worth remembering that God hasn't commanded your neighbour to observe Lent. You might want to give up chocolate and booze for Lent. I might not. And I'm perfectly within my rights to continue eating a moderate amount of chocolate and drinking a moderate amount of alcohol during Lent if I want to. And the Bible is very clear that in these kind of things, Scripture is silent. We mustn't judge one another. There should be no strife or division or one-upmanship. And Paul explicitly says, one man considers one day holy, one man considers all days alike. Now, they mustn't fall out about these things. It's between you and God. So where Scripture is silent, we mustn't attempt to bind one another's consciences. That's point one, far as it goes. Lent is not in the Bible. Secondly, observance of Lent and Advent as penitential seasons risks getting the Christian year out of balance. Okay? Observing Lent and Advent as penitential seasons risks getting the Christian year out of balance. Now, you've got to have some sort of markers throughout the year. You can't really just have, every day the same. You're going to define your year somehow, whether it's by May Day bank holiday or Guy Fawkes Month or whatever. So you may as well have a Christian calendar. That'd be good. It'd be good to have a calendar that is based on the life of Jesus. Christmas, Easter, Ascension, excellent. Lent, the temptation of Jesus in the desert. Okay, fine. But it's worth thinking about the Bible and what it tells us about Christians calendars. Actually, that first bit in the Bible, that we can now call the Old Testament, has got quite a bit to say about calendars. And it's worth noting that in the Old Testament, which of course is the sort of lesser, more gloomy, miserable bit of the Bible, perhaps, there's only one compulsory fast day and a number of compulsory feasts. Isn't that interesting? So when God wrote a calendar, he just put in one fast day. When we make up a calendar, what do we do? Well, we have 40 fast days in Lent. We have Advent as another penitential season. And if you go to the medieval church, they were fasting on a Friday, weren't they? One of the great ways the Reformation got going, actually, was some of Zwingli's friends in Zurich had a sausage during Lent. And if you'll take up special sausage eating during Lent, celebrate your Reformed Protestant heritage. Anyway, some Wednesdays, some people fast on Wednesdays as well. I think the Pharisees at the time of Jesus were fasting 2 days a week, whereas Jesus had told them to fast 1 day a year. The Bible, yeah, God had told them to fast 1 day a year. So you might think that something had gone wrong there. What is the basic shape and tenor of the Christian life? I think it is one of rejoicing and celebration. Yes, one of repentance and penitence and mourning over sin and fasting is appropriate for the Christian. But let's not forget it's basically a good thing. Remember, Sundays don't count. If you count the days in there, there won't be 40. And it's more than 40 days of Christmas to Easter, isn't it? And that's because the Sundays don't count. Sunday is always a feast day, a celebration, you know, so cut out the butter and a bottle of carrot tonight, or whatever. In the 8 o'clock service, I think I implied that you might have a bottle of carrot tonight. I had to collect it to a glass, you know, but then if you've opened the bottle tonight, you've got a problem with what you're going to do with the rest, haven't you? So will it really keep until next Sunday? So, you know, Lent is full of these interesting dilemmas. So Sunday is Resurrection Day, a feast day, a day of celebration. And surely that means chocolate and booze on a Sunday. Number three, the Christian faith is one of daily and year-round repentance and also continual rejoicing. So there's meant to be joy in Lent and there's meant to be repentance the rest of the time of the year. Don't be a misery gut. If you're going to observe Lent, observe it happily or not at all. Jesus himself said that kind of thing, didn't he? Do you remember the gospel reading that we had on Wednesday? If you're going to fast, make sure you don't go around looking miserable so that everybody knows you're fasting and so on. The thing of sort of daubing ash on your forehead, you know, this being in direct contradiction of the gospel reading that tells us, you know, not to make a stir of your piety. If you sort of, you know, got daubed with ash and, you know, went down the pub so that everyone could see how holy you were, that would be completely missing the point, wouldn't it? So observe self-denial and discipline daily, not just in Lent. And the longer that it applies to the weightier matters of the law, not tithing your mints and your cumin only, but loving God and your neighbour. Number four, remember that booze and chocolates are good gifts of God to be enjoyed with thanksgiving. Now it might be good for some of us to give up eating too much or drinking too much for Lent, or indeed in general. But the Lord preserve us from an alcohol-free, low-fat, skinny Christianity. We are not Gnostics. Remember the Nashville Gnostics? They thought that the body was a prison and a bad thing, and we were basically spirits, you know, kind of brains in jars, and we wanted to sort of get away from all this horrible physical stuff. Well, that is not the Christian faith. The Christian faith says the body and food and sex are all good things, but of course they're not God. We mustn't be controlled by any of those things, and Lent might help us to put them in their place. But their place is not in the dustbin. Number five, keeping man-made rules for 40 days does not a godly life make. Giving up sin and taking up godliness is what makes for a godly life.
We never kid ourselves that we have our minds or bodies under control if we've managed to avoid cocoa solids for a couple of months. This is part of Phariseeism, isn't it? Now think of the Pharisees in the Bible. They seem extremely holy and zealous, and they're very kind of strict. They've got lots of rules that they observe. But do they love God from the heart? Well, no. For the most part, it seems they don't. But they've externalized the standard. They've lowered the standard. Even though they kept it very exacting and complicated in a way, it's much easier to give away a tenth of your mint than it is to love God and love your neighbour. So we mustn't think that if we manage to lay off the booze and the chocolate for 40 days, we've arrived spiritually. Nearly there, number 6. The Christian faith is all about what Jesus has done before it's about what we do. And we do get on to that, but we're saved by Jesus, all of grace, through faith, and not by good works. And so we grasp that, we may as well forget about Lent. Being put right with God by trusting in Jesus because of what Jesus has done, that is basic Christianity, and let's not worry about Lent for another decade until we've really grasped that point. Seventhly, and finally, we're not to observe Lent to be seen by men, they've said that already. If we seek their praise, then we may or may not have their reward. We may well, if we find a suitably impressive way of doing it. I don't know what would cut the mustard as the blake down the white horse. Probably not an ass clock on the forehead, but maybe we should find some way of impressing them with our piety if we try hard enough. But that's not really what it's all meant to be about. It may therefore not be best to broadcast your Lenten abstinences on Facebook. Well, there's more that could be said, but may God indeed grant us a holy life and a holy life, and may He enable us to understand what true holiness looks like. Following Jesus, turning away from sin, with our appetites under control, but rejoicing and giving thanks to God for His good gift. So enjoy your glass of wine and your prayer of comfort and your butter and your celebration today.